Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Hallelujah. So we are looking at practical kingdom diplomacy and the way that God wants his representatives, who are his diplomats, as talking about believers in this world, are supposed to relate with other people in the world. This was very important to Jesus. So in the book of Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, he taught some practical ways that we should relate with various people. And the thing is that we in the world, believers in this world, are representing God. The word represent is from two words, re and then present. It means that to present God again. Why does God have to be presented again? Why should we present God again? Because the devil has given a very wrong picture about God. Hallelujah. If you look at God in the beginning, you see that the picture that the devil has sought to paint about God is a wrong picture. Because God in the beginning, we see a God of fabulous love, infinite love. He is that kind of God that Adam and Eve sinned against, and then he came to them. It wasn't as if they were he was running away from them. As people think that when you sin against God, God will stay away from you. No, God will not stay away from you. You rather tend to stay away from God, not God staying away from you. So God knew they had sinned, but the voice of God was still coming to them, and they were rather hiding. That is why in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not reconciling himself to the world. The problem is not God not wanting to come to humans. The problem is humans not wanting to come to God. So the reconciliation work of the Lord Jesus, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Reconciling the world to himself, not himself to the world. So God ever loves humanity. Can you imagine that when we sinned with our eyes opened, when I say we, I'm talking about us in Adam and Eve. When mankind sinned, God came to man and God clothed man with animal skin. It's wonderful. And the things that God said to man after man sinned was in the favor of man. Because when you sin, that is not the time that God will nail you down. When you sin, you're already down. That is not the time that God will kick you because you're already down. That is the time that God will lift you up because you're already down. So all the things that God said to humanity when man sinned in the Garden of Eden was to lift up man. He didn't curse man. Hallelujah. God didn't say, in the day that you sin, I will curse you. He didn't say that. So when man sinned, God didn't come cursing mankind. The words that God spoke to the woman was to help the woman to come to a place where the woman will recover herself. Actually, he said things concerning the woman before addressing the woman. He said things that will encourage the woman. For example, you know, the first person God dealt with and actually cursed was the serpent or the devil. And God told the devil or the serpent that the seed of the woman shall bruise your head. How do you think the woman felt? Because she was the one who had sinned. How do you think she felt? When, assuming she heard God, because I believe that she heard God, it was the same scene. How do you think the woman felt when she heard that the seed of the woman, me,
God, I just sinned. There is hope for me that even a product from me is going to crush the head of the serpent. It's amazing that when you are down, God will not nail you down. When man sin, when you sin, that is the time that you need God most. That is the time that the fallen nature makes you move away from God, but God will come close to you. That is why he went to Cain. He knew that Cain had murdered his brother. He went to Cain. Said, where is your brother Abel? Am I my brother's keeper? Wow. It's amazing. And the kind of things that God said to Cain, please, let me show you something there in Genesis chapter 4. It was amazing. Because God was telling Cain that although he has sinned, there was a sin offering that he should take and offer. Look at Genesis 4 and then verse 6. It says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. This is the New King James Version of the Bible. All right. Now, if you study the scripture in the original Hebrew, or you can take Young's literal translation of the Bible, you will see that in the Hebrew, the word translated sin over here is the same word translated sin offering. So Cain has sinned, shed blood, and God comes to him. And if you read it out in the Hebrew, in the English, it says that if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Look, if you do not do well, this is somebody who is not doing well already. I want you to see the problem with this translation of English that I've just read. There's somebody who is not doing well already. Why should God say that if you are not doing well, sin lies at your door? Because he has sinned. He is already not doing well. So the solution is not sin lying at his door. The solution is the sin offering lying at your door. Says that Cain, you are not doing well. He said, if you do not do well, sin offering is lying at the door. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's like sin in your Bible. But if you read it in the Hebrew, the same word that was translated sin offering, like in Leviticus chapter 1, is the same word that was translated sin over here. And what I'm telling us is that the devil has given a certain picture about God which we have to refuse. Hallelujah. Says that if you do not do well, sin offering lies at the door. It means that the solution to your not doing well is very close. It lies at the door. And he says that its desire is for you. Because the sin offering, Jesus, God was telling Cain that there is an offering for your sin. It's at the door. Go and take it, because the sin offering's desire is that you will take it and make use of it, because you are not doing well. If you do not do well, sin offering lies at the door, and the sin offering is crying, use me, use me. It's like the blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, right now, crying out for mercy, crying from the cross to lost humanity, make use of me. I am the offering for your sin. My desire is for you. This sin offering, if you read it as even in the English, you will see that it is a personification of the offering, saying that the sin offering has a desire, and the desire is for the sinner, is for Cain. That Cain, use me. It's at your door. Use me. So he ended by saying, you shall control it. You shall rule over the sin offering. In other words, the sin offering is there. But it doesn't just offer, it's not just like that. You must take a step and make use of the cross of Jesus, of the blood of Jesus. Grace does not mean that you have sinned, the sin offering is there, Jesus has shed his blood, so automatically every sinner is forgiven, every sinner is going to heaven because Jesus has carried away the sin. He says, no, the desire is for you, but you have to do something. You have to take him, make use of him. This is a prediction of Jesus. This is a prediction of God's attitude towards sin. Hallelujah. But you see, that is not a picture of God that we get. It's not a picture of a God who comes and he says that you have sinned. I don't like the clothing you are on. I want to kill an animal and clothe you properly. The image of God is as if because people have sinned, whether they are believers or unbelievers, God will leave you. The Holy Spirit will live from you. When he lives from you, where should he go? When Jesus Christ, I said that I didn't come for the righteous, I came for the sinner. So you think the Holy Spirit will come and replace Jesus, and when you sin, he will leave you? That's all right. That's not God. God is a God of love. He is such a God of love that it blows our minds. We cannot understand. That's why his love is not shed in your mind. It is shed abroad in your heart because it doesn't make sense. Look at the book of John. John chapter 17. I want you to see a picture of the person you have to represent, the God you have to present again. Why should you present again? Because a wrong impression has been sown in the heart of people, unbelievers, believers, about God, which is all right. He is a God of love. Can we all say he's a God of love? And that is the picture of God that he longs to repaint. In fact, he brought Jesus to repaint that picture. That is why when people sinned against God, Jesus will still go to them and help them out. Otherwise, you should have abandoned Peter. Otherwise, you should have given a special ministry to Peter or a special ministry to Thomas, because Thomas doubted him completely. But he came and he offered an extra ministry to Thomas. Thomas, come. Come and put your hand in there. And come and put your hand in the nail prints. Come and put it in my side. Come and see it. I want to minister to you because I want to recover you out of that unbelief, because unbelief is sin. That is why when they doubted him, he didn't comment even about the doubt. He still entrusted the kingdom to them, people who doubted him. That is why the woman was caught in adultery and Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah. Because God wants us to get a certain picture about him, that he sent his son to come and give it, because none of the prophets could comprehend God that way and give that picture of God to us. So God said, away with all of you. I'm going to send my son. He is my express image. He is the only person who knows me, and he is the one who is going to paint the correct picture about me. And I want you to take that picture he paints about me. Not Elisha's one, not Moses's one, not Abraham's one, not Noah's one, not anybody's one, but my son. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 17. And then verse what? Verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. And that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Wow. Wow. Jesus is just about going to the cross. He's praying what we call the high priestly prayer on this earth for all of us, including those of us who were not around, all of us, really, into the future. He says that I in them and you in me, that they be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. This is awesome. This is awesome, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
There are two things in this scripture. That was the priority of Jesus that the world will get to know. He was telling the Father, I want the world to understand a certain two things. The first one is that I want the world to know that you, God, sent me. And I think that to everybody who has been sent, who has come in the name of God, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I believe that one of the key things that you want the people whom you are sent to know is that you are not there on your own. That all that you are saying is coming from. Otherwise, your mission is aborted. Otherwise, your coming is wasted. So two things are important to Jesus. He says that the first one is that I want the people you've given me to know, the world to know, you sent me, that I'm not here on my own, that I am your servant, that I've come because you sent me. And then number two, he says, I want them to know that you love them just as you love me. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, the kind of love God has for the world is the same love God has for his only begotten son called Jesus. If you think that God loves Jesus, Jesus is saying to you that the way that God loves him is the same way that God loves the world, or God loves you and me. It's the same way. Hallelujah. If you want to know how much God loves you, look at the way God loves Jesus. Because God gave Jesus for you. So the way to know how much God loves you is the way to know how much God loves his only begotten son, who pleased him so much. Because on top of that, he gave him for you. Hallelujah. So Jesus says that two things are important to me. I want them to know that you sent me to come. And secondly, I want the world to know that you love them just as you, oh God, loves me. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. What am I telling us? I'm telling us that, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing about God that Jesus came to show us is not necessarily the holiness of God, it's not necessarily the justice of God, it's not necessarily anything about God except the love of God. Because the love of God can fight every other thing. The love of God covers every other thing. That is why the Apostle Paul tells us that the love of God be with you. The grace of Jesus be with you. The friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Friendship of the Holy Spirit, who is God, be with you. If you look at the love of God, the grace of Jesus, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit, Mr. Tay, isn't he saying the same thing? What is the difference between the love of God and the grace of Jesus practically on the ground? What is the difference? Yes, English language, we can define and say love is this. We can say grace is that and mercy is that. You understand that? But in practice, tell me, what is the difference between the love of God and the grace of Jesus? Please tell me, in practice, what is the difference between the friendship of the Holy Spirit and the love of God? Friendship, perfect friendship, a friend who will not leave you when everybody has left you, that you don't deserve anything. A true friend never leaves you. Never leaves you. What is God trying to tell us? The grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the friendship of the Holy, he's just saying one thing. That look, you can thank God every other way, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, he just wants you to know that God loves you. If there is any picture we must paint to anybody, ladies and gentlemen, let us paint the right picture about God. Do you know what? Because the devil, formerly, he was called the son of the morning. That name is Lucifer. Lucifer means the son of the morning. Son, S-O-N, of the morning. It means that before he fell, if Lucifer appears, morning has come. Darkness has gone away. Revelation of God has come. Lucifer was the person who was revealing God to the angels. When he comes and he opens his wings and he's leading them in the culture of heaven, all that the people see is a revelation of God. Because morning has come, darkness is gone, revelation has come, light has come. That is when Lucifer appears. He reveals God. Now, when he fell, he made it a point that I am going to give a bad picture about God. I am no more the son of the morning. I am the king of darkness. His kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. In other words, when he shows up, like he takes over the world or the earth, when he came around to the Garden of Eden, his mind was to paint a picture about God to Adam and Eve, that God was bad. I will show you. It was not to reveal God, it was to conceal God, who he really is. It was not to make them know the love of God, it was to make them know something else about God. Not anything false about God, but something else about God, other than his love. Because he knows what God treasures most and what he wants humanity to see most. Hallelujah. Shall I show you something? Let me show you something. If I don't exhaust it, just take it like that, because that is not my point. I want to teach you about practical kingdom diplomacy, but I want us to end in a forceful way. Go to the book of Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, you scan through the Bible. I've done a thorough study of this, so I may say some things which may skip, but just take it. You can go and study it. In the whole of Genesis chapter 1, God, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So, God presents himself as God. This God here is Elohim. It's a plural. And he's talking about the mightiness of God. So he says that in the beginning, a mighty God created the heavens and the earth. And why not? Because it will take somebody of might, an Elohim, to do this wonderful work of creation. So throughout Genesis chapter 1, we see God, and God said, then God said, and God said, then God said, and God said, until we get to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, God created man. I hope you know that. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, let us make man in our own image. 27, so God created man in his own image. 28, God blessed them and all that. Now we come to Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2, man has been created. The Bible is telling us the history of creation. And for the first time, we see the word Lord, L-O-R-D. And we don't see God standing alone. We see Lord God. Why? Because human beings have come upon the scene, and God is no more showing himself as that Elohim, mighty God of creation. He wants to have a relationship with mankind. So he prefixes his name with Lord God, not God Lord. Lord God. The Lord is talking about the way he wants to relate with mankind. Hallelujah. So look at verse 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth and all that. You see verse 5, the Lord God. Look at verse 7, the Lord God. Look at verse 8, the Lord God. Look at verse 9, the Lord God. We didn't see that in Genesis chapter 1. It was God, 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 God. Now, look at verse 15, the Lord God. Verse 18, and the Lord God. Verse 19, the Lord God. Verse 21, the Lord God. Verse 22, the Lord God. Until, look at chapter 3. You get to chapter 3, and then we see the Lord God. 3:1 says that, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He, the devil, the serpent said to the woman, has God. Please note it. The devil is now, doesn't want mankind to have a certain revelation of God. He wants to see God as that mighty God who is going to hit your head right now. Because he's mighty. And you can't destroy his creation. So, look at all that the devil says. I will take you through. The devil said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of any tree and all that. Look at verse 3. But of the tree, the woman says that, but of the tree of the garden, which is, of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. Have you seen that the woman has bought into the revelation already? The devil clouding the Lord God already. He's gone back to Genesis chapter 1. Kojo, can you see it? The devil is not saying Lord God. He is saying God. And because of that, the woman also says God. That is the beginning of the fall of mankind. Because when you see God as a God of relationship, Lord means that he is relating with somebody. I hope you understand that. Yeah. He's relating with somebody. A Lord, landlord as a tenant. Otherwise, you are just there. You are a human being. When you get a tenant, then you become a landlord. Okay, so the devil is trying to paint a certain picture about, and then he says, God, the woman buys into it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the moment you shift your mind from God being a God of love and relationship, you are just about to fall. It is his love that keeps us from sin. It is his love that repairs sin. So, the devil says, God. And the woman says, God. Look at verse 5. The devil is speaking. He says that you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw, the woman took it and ate it. And verse 8, he heard the sound of the Lord God. The Bible goes back to the Lord God. Look at verse 8. The Lord God appears twice. Verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" He's the Lord God. He wants to relate with man. Look at verse 13. And the Lord God. Look at verse 14. And the Lord God. Hallelujah. We only have God in Genesis chapter 1. And we only have God, the devil, trying to cloud. The son of the morning now trying to bring darkness. Misrepresent God to the woman. The woman buys a misrepresentation, and because of that she sins. And then we go back to the Lord God in relating with us. Sewing the apron for us. Lord God. Hallelujah. Because he wants to relate with us. I want us to know, ladies and gentlemen, that God that we are supposed to represent is a God of love. Hallelujah. All other things that come in between from the fall of man. Right now, when the devil comes to you, he will tell you about the same thing. He will make your mind go to other things about God, apart from the fact that he wants to relate with you. He's a God of love.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell, and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at Number 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name on.